We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You like the Rolling Stones, Woody? You like some of their stuff?
Not particularly.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
I know you do.
So. I do. Well, we want to say, first of all, good morning to everybody. Second of all, man, I cannot wait for these AFC and NFC championship games. I don't see any blowouts. I see, God, I go back and forth, and I know everybody's making a big deal that Mahomes is not going to be healthy enough to have a chance against Joe Burrow and, you know, all the stuff that's being said and the confidence of Cincinnati, and they have played great now. There's no question about 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, but it should be just a really, really good game. My God, the Chiefs, and I know it's about winning Super Bowls, speaking of Tom Brady. That's what it's about. But five straight home field championship games. And just to bring it back home, not that I need to, every year, or the three times in 18 years, we get the last spot and lose in the first round of the playoffs, on the road, and we lose. Kansas City, five straight home field championship games. This is the fifth one. Now, I know they've only won one, but boy, I'll tell you what, you keep getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs with the bye week in there, and Tom Brady will tell you, it works, man. It works. And so we'll see, but that should be good. And by the way, the other game, San Francisco and Philadelphia, the 1-2 defenses and the 3-5 offenses. I'm really curious to see these games, man. I tell you what, Sunday, no plans. No plan Sunday, man. Heck, I was going to start a quick trip, see my parents. I said, no, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on that one. I want to see these games before I take off. I want to see what happens on Sunday. I just think there's so many great storylines, and everybody's talked about Philly's offensive line, and it's the best offensive line football. It's really good, folks, obviously. And then you've got the 49ers defense, and you know, and how good it is, led by Nick Bosa on the outside. And it's just Joe Burrow might have a couple offensive linemen back that he didn't have last week, although he didn't need them against Buffalo. He kicked that you know what out of them. Yeah, man, there's just so many cool stories. And, you know, you start looking the four final teams in the NFL. There's 32 teams. We're down to the final four, and you're looking to see. I do this. I know Woody does it because we talked about it to start the show today. We start looking at what they have that we don't have that's holding us back from getting into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, winning the division, and which has been owned by New England for 20 years, and now Buffalo's taking the handoff, and now they've owned it the last few years as well. But it is an interesting one. And obviously the quarterback play and durable quarterbacks has been one of the great stories. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to win the MVP. And Joe Burrow's probably going to finish up there in the top couple of spots. This thing just this game should be really, really fun to watch. And even though you would think you'd have a big advantage at home, I don't think anybody would be surprised if I said, hey, Cincinnati and San Francisco are going to win those games on the road. The spreads are pretty much, one spread might be even. Is it a pick 'em? One's close. Games are...
Yeah, they're both basically pick-ems at this point. One of, I think the Eagles
how good
are 2.5.
Oh, all
like
right.
That. Yeah, but they're very close, yeah.
So we have that, and of course we're waiting here with the Miami Dolphins to find out what's going to happen to defensive coordinator, and then from there figure out what style that Mike wants. I'm guessing it has to be Mike. Mike's got to make the decision. He knows his players and try to figure out what will be the best style for this defense to have more success and get more out of the core of players that they have. And even going forward, which guys you want that will fit the new defensive coordinator's style of play. All those things will come into play. I'm with everybody else, man. Just off the top, you can get Vic Fangio. You take him in a heartbeat. I'm with you. Nothing against any of the other guys, Desai, Chris Richard, guys on your own staff. Nothing against any of them, man. Everybody wants to get an opportunity. But when Vic Fangio shows up, it's kind of a different ballgame, isn't it? Big old long resume of success. Had some good defenses. Had Bradley Chubb in Denver. And so we go from there to see what this thing is going to look like. By the way, if you're wondering what's going on, Adam Beasley, NFL director, Pro Football Network, will join us. We'll talk to him about Vic Fangio and for Dolphin fans. Hey, listen, I'm guilty too. I want to know what we're doing going forward with I don't think we're going to do much on the offensive line, by the way. I think we're going to try to keep a core of the guys that we already have. And hopefully Eichenberg and Austin Jackson can stay healthy. But I think after what and where they were drafted, and they're still young guys, you got to come back with your mindset that they're going to start. Whether you like it or not, I just think that's one guy's a first-round pick, one guy you moved up in the second round to take, they got to be able to play. But the quarterback position is an interesting one, and I don't know, but I would not be surprised if Skylar Thompson was a backup quarterback. They just decided to go young. You know, I'm working that off of San Francisco, man. Things that he has seen from his former head coach when he was a coordinator playing these young guys. One guy gets injured, and now they got a seventh-round pick in this guy, Purdy, who is playing really well in that system. So, I don't know. Do we draft another guy? Wouldn't be surprised. I don't think anybody would be surprised to see the Miami Dolphins with one of their picks take a quarterback again and try to develop them and see if they, you know, can find a guy that fits their offense and the things that they want to do. No question about that. All right, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. We do. We got plenty of stuff. Mel Kiper came out yesterday and has four quarterbacks going in the first 9 or 10 picks. Ouch. Anybody want to put their job on the line and try to figure out which one of those guys can play, knowing what the history of first-round picks at quarterback have been? And by the way, even in the greatest of quarterback drafts like Elway, Marino, and Kelly, there was also a Tony Eason and a Todd Blackledge. So it doesn't matter. For every Trevor Lawrence, there's a Zach Wilson. So that happens, man. And what I love to see, you know, I don't know the Tom Brady. I know everybody throws up the Tom Brady in the sixth round, you know, and I don't know, man. I just you keep trying to get one of those guys. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick to Seattle, and his story was a great one as well. There have been some. Their heart. Jalen Hurts, second round. Not everybody has to be a first-round pick. But finding one of those guys that's special, and the part that you just don't know about is that part around the heart area is the hardest part of the whole thing, isn't it? All the guys can throw for the most part. Getting in the right system with a guy that just has got it. Whatever it is, it's got it, and they haven't figured out anything on the heart that you see. They still haven't figured that one out. And you know what's funny? I saw Giselle had a comment or somebody that was close to Giselle about Tom Brady, about he's so into his job, there was just no time for her. And I go, that's part of Tom Brady's greatness, right? Part of his greatness is like, yeah, I mean, during football season, he just had no time. Yeah. That's why the dudes, they're all that way. All those guys are that way. Not a lot of time during football season for the wife. Now, Tom Brady, maybe, you know, more than others. There's a reason a lot of coaches and athletes can't stay married. A lot of listen, being married to a coach is no dream come true. The hours they work, a lot of divorces and miserable marriages in that group. If talk about going home wiped out and then getting up early in the morning, your wife must just really be excited to see you and to talk to you as you're taking a shower and going to bed. All right, we got to go to break. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Adam Beasley is going to join us coming up. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, hey, welcome back here. Boy, we've been all over the board and talking a lot about the Dolphins. Kind of watching how these final four teams have been put together and kind of bringing it back a little bit to the Miami Dolphins, who are also waiting to find out who the defensive coordinator will be. Adam Beasley, NFL director for Pro Football Network, joins us. Bees, how you doing?
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, what's your take? I know some people think Vic Fangio could be the next defensive coordinator here. What's your thoughts, and could you see it happening?
I mean, certainly they're running. He reportedly had his meeting yesterday, one of at least four, I think, finalists that we know, including one internally. But Vic has got to be the number one, right, on the power rankings. The problem with going after the number one pick is you have a lot of other people going after him as well. So I do think the fact that Sean Payton's kind of dragging his feet a little bit, and, you know, whispers are out of that camp that he might not actually take a job this cycle, could help, because everyone thought it was kind of a foregone conclusion that wherever Peyton goes, Vic will go. The fact that Peyton may not coach in 2023 certainly helped the Dolphins' chances for landing one of the best assistant coaches in the history of the game. I mean, Vic Fangio is bar none as far as the defensive mind, and he would be a huge upgrade for this team.
I am. My sense is we're going to change our whole style of defense a little bit. Like, this has kind of run its course. Do you agree? Going to be a little different?
100%. And I think he felt frustration from within the locker room at times last year about all these zero blitzes, all these leaving these DBs on an island. And if you have two number ones and, you know, your safeties are all healthy and you're flying around making plays, you can make a great living, you know, sending the house every other play. But when Xavien Howard is your only starting cornerback available and he's maybe 75-80% because of lingering injuries, it's just a bad idea. So here's the, you know, even X, we saw points last year, could benefit from safety help. And to have safety help, you can't have those safeties, you know, pinning their ears back and going after the quarterback. So you look at, you know, historically the kind of defenses that Fangio has run, they're not against blitzing for any, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. They'll blitz when they feel like it's strategic. But the days of 35%, 40% blitz rate, which the Dolphins have lived in the last three, 4 years, I think those days are over.
Yeah. Listen, man. I'm on the. We got to get more out of the front four. I mean, I like Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips and the tackle position, which has turned out to be a real strength of this team. We just we got to get more there. Hey, I got a lot of stuff to talk to you about. We're getting a lot of this today and yesterday as well. The Dolphins, and maybe the most important question with this team, who's going to be the backup quarterback just because of the situation right now with Tua Tagovailoa. Skylar Thompson, do you think he's a backup quarterback next year?
I would be surprised if they don't get a veteran. I think they're going to go – they cannot be in the same situation they were this year. And I think we've talked about this on the show already, that you can't go into the playoffs crossing your fingers with a seventh-round pick. And the Niners certainly, God bless them, might win a Super Bowl doing it, but that's a lotto ticket. That's the exception. That's not the rule. More often than not, there's a reason these guys are going in the 200s, you know, draft pick. It's because they've got flaws, they've got warts, and you know, can Skylar Thompson someday be a dependable backup quarterback or even a fringe starter? Certainly, he we saw the flashes last summer, but I don't think Steve Ross has any appetite whatsoever of rolling his dice with at least thrice concussed Tua Tagovailoa, maybe four times concussed Tua Tagovailoa in his football career, and Skylar Thompson, who completed 40% of his passes in a playoff game. I don't think that is a tenable situation. So the question is, well, what do you want? What are you willing to spend? I know they've got some cap restrictions. They can, you know, finesse those if they need to and create some space. But what are you looking for? Are you looking for, you know, a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo who's going to want $25 million and a chance to start? I don't think that's their headspace right now, unless everything we heard from them 2 weeks ago was kind of, you know, misdirection. I think you're going to look more along the lines of another Teddy Bridgewater type, but hopefully a little bit more durable. I mean, you need, and I do think that if Bridgewater played in that playoff game, they would have had a very good chance to win. And if you would have been healthy all season, you wouldn't have been sweating out that Jets game in Week 18. It was a bad execution of a flawed plan because you had an injury prone starting quarterback and an injury prone backup quarterback. You can't act surprised when they both get injured.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that part. So, you're looking at these draft picks. You still, after all the things have happened, you lost one number one pick and you traded two other ones for a defensive end and a wide receiver, and you hope the pass rush will be as good as that wide receiver on the outside, and you have no problem. But we're sitting here with round two now, 51, and round three coming up. I know we got a lot of time, but you got to hit on some of these picks. These guys, because of the money situation, we got to have some young guys coming in and play right away. We got to have some more Cater Kahoo guys. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. You look back at their 2022 draft, and it was, I wouldn't say a total bust, but it was pretty close. You did get a bunch of snaps out of Skylar, so that was encouraging. But the guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth rounds contributed very, very little to this team, if anything at all. You can't have another year like that. And I understand that you get to day three, and it's kind of crossing your fingers and throwing a dart at the dartboard and all that. But they have had success in the past finding these gems, these acorns, in the words of Jeff Ireland, the blast from the past, of finding these guys that are going to play over their station and contribute to the team. I agree with you completely. If you're going to be in a position, if you're going to have a mindset where we're okay giving up our ones to get stars, you got to hit on your twos. Your twos and your threes have to be rotation players at the very least and solid starters at best.
So let me ask you, I'm looking at just what the picks could be, and it's way too early, and I'm doing a Mel Kiper Jr. right now.
Yeah,
on you
I haven't given a shred of thought to this.
I know
so
you haven't.
Talking live as we go.
No. And I'm not talking about any names in college. I just think we need some fresh wheels at the running back position, that one of those three or four top picks needs to be a running back, right, with a lot of tread left on the tires. Do you agree with that besides
the free
agent?
Yeah, I mean, especially because Jeff Wilson, free agent, the backups they had, I don't know the contract situation for Ahmed or Gaskin, but they've been around for a minute, so it wouldn't surprise me if they're up as well. I don't think this organization believes they need to use a number one, which they don't have anyway, on a running back. They've never done it. Chris Greer is against it. And even the splashes they made in free agency, how much money did they actually spend, right? And Chase Edmonds is among them, and he didn't even last to the trade deadline. I mean, he was a non-factor. I do think, though, this offense is kind of running back proof, that if it's executing the way it is and they've got the blockers they need and the scheme they have, you can – and we saw it in San Francisco, and I know they gave up the farm to get Christian McCaffrey, but he's kind of a generational player type of deal. But if you're not going to have one of those top-end guys, there really is not a huge amount of functional difference between a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick at running back. They're just – and so the analytics, Joe, say that you stockpile, it's quantity, not quality, at running back. You get as many of those guys as you can that are young and fresh and healthy and on rookie deals, and you don't pay them. That's kind of what the analytics say. But I'm with you. If we've sat here since – when's the last time they had a dominant running back? Was it Jay Ajayi? And I wouldn't even know if you would consider him dominant. He just had three incredible games, and the rest of the season he was just okay. Is that what this league dictates? Does it need, does it necessitate anymore a guy who's going to give you 300 carries? I don't know. But I do agree with you that they absolutely need to add real, true quality depth and not a bunch of seventh-round picks.
Adam, so Mike inherited a lot of these players, and I'm talking about the tight end position, where I see no way Mike Gesicki comes back. I see no way he wants to come back and play 20, 25, 30% of the snaps and catch 30-something footballs. I think he'll get a better offer out there where somebody will say, hey, you're going to be a bigger part of our offense. I don't know if you agree with that or not. Do you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. I don't think they can afford to keep Mike Gesicki. Yeah. I think that he was a luxury in 2022, and they can't afford luxuries going forward, especially if they have to start figuring out what to do with Tua and his contract and all that. They torched some money in the free agency cycle in 2022, and I think part of that was because they had no idea they were going to get Tyreek Hill. But between the Gesicki contract, the Cedric Wilson contract, who, by the way, Cedric, when given the opportunity in 2022, made some plays. I don't know why they were – this offense was so reliant on two players, in the passing game at least, and obviously the running back was kind of by committee, but they were so reliant on two players in the passing game, despite having real value elsewhere in that position group, and Cedric Wilson, Mike Gesicki, the ones we mentioned, it was a misallocation of resources, and I think they understand that. So they're not going to go out and spend another $10, $12 million on a tight end that they're not going to use. I agree with you. I think he's gone. But I do think they need to be more balanced in offense, and I think they did get a bit predictable about midway through the season, two-thirds of the way through the season, when teams kind of figured out, all right, if we shut these two dudes down, they've got nothing else that they're going to do. And that was a challenge for McDaniel during the season.
No, I agree with you. No, I totally agree with you. So I want to ask you about these games coming up here real quickly. Cincinnati, man, seems like a confident, cocky team coming to Kansas City. What do you think happens in that game?
Well, they certainly take on the personality of their quarterback. I mean, that guy is a stud. I mean, he is a cool, cool dude. And he feels no pressure. He is just – it's incredible. He's impervious to pressure. He has fun. He's dynamic. He's got an incredible, weapons around him. It's just a great situation, and they're clicking on all cylinders. I'm not going to ever tell people how to spend their money, but I loaded up on the Bengals money line. I'm going to be honest with you, Joe. I saw value in Cincinnati when I got it. Now the line's changed a bit since then. But the Chiefs can't beat the Bengals when Mahomes is 100%. How are the Chiefs going to beat the Bengals when Mahomes is at 70, 75%? And again, football's crazy. Weird things can happen. Not every game is the same as the one before. But I feel like the Bengals kind of own the Chiefs at this point. And it doesn't matter if the game's played on the moon. They have an incredible amount of confidence that they can go and beat that team. And again, at 100%, they have that confidence because they've done it time and time again. So, how do I see potentially the Chiefs winning? Run the football, play action. They're not going to be able to get Mahomes out of the pocket. He's going to have to stay in there, but protect him well. And force Burrow to do something he hasn't done a ton of, which is give the ball away.
Yeah. Hey, real quickly, San Francisco at Philly. God, it just sounds so good, man. Sounds like just a great game.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. You might see 700 rushing yards combined. I mean, these are two teams that really love to run the football. Two quarterbacks that were certainly forgotten about or overlooked largely in the draft process. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a really good game. I don't have a feel for it. I do believe the Niners are the most complete team in the National Football League, but do you trust a seventh-round pick rookie going on the road in the NFC Championship game and winning? That would be my only reason to say, you know, Philadelphia's got a real shot to win this.
I keep waiting for Purdy to act like a seventh-round rookie, and he just hasn't done it. I keep waiting, and that system and the way he's played.
He does incredibly well, Joe. He's a distributor, and he does not make mistakes.
No.
He does not give the ball away. And so when you have, you know, a 5-yard hitch becomes a 50-yard touchdown, that offense, you have probably the best defense in the National Football League, and you have a really good running game with Christian McCaffrey, you don't need your guy to be Patrick Mahomes. You just need him to be solid, and he's been more than solid.
Adam, thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on this morning. You take care of yourself. Thanks.
All right, enjoy the games this weekend.
Thank you. You too. Adam Beasley, NFL Director for Pro Football Network, as we continue on here. Appreciate Bees coming on. Kim Bocamper will join us at 9 o'clock this morning as well, so stay with us. We'll have a lot more coming up. But first, I want to take a minute just to tell you about Mike Okotsie at Choice Mortgage and his 30 years of experience, man. It's important to start with that. Hey, I love when he tells me, hey, fixed-rate mortgages are back in the fours. I said, man, okay. He said, tell people, though, get this thing locked in. I don't know which way they're going to go. But he's also talking about getting cash out of your home. Right, and getting equity out of your home to help you out, and a new home purchase, if that's something you're looking for, debt consolidation, home improvement is big right now for a lot of people. And the thing about Michael Okotsie is he can approve you. It's about great service and getting you approved in hours and not months. When the banks are saying, hey, we'll start working on it, we'll let you know. Michael Okotsie's trying to close it, man. That's just the way he works. He doesn't work banker's hours. The guy works 7 days a week, man. And free credit and valuation check, foreclosure bailout, reverse mortgages. One of his best things he does, 62 and over, looking at reverse mortgages, find out all the benefits you get and why so many people that are retiring are going to the reverse mortgage. And it might just be perfect for you. Investment property mortgages, whatever it is, it's all about Michael Okotsie taking great care of you with his knowledge and ability and great work ethic that he has for you. Call him right now, 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. What are you waiting for? NMLS 166-254, rates and terms, subject to change. Daily without notice, he's an equal housing lender and a game changer ready to help you today. Go get him, Michael. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody out there. I guess everybody's been watching the NBA as probably figured out Damian Lillard last night had a 60-point game for Portland. The amount of games of 50-plus this season, more than halfway through, but it seems like every week we have one or two guys that go over 50 points. Woody, I was shocked. I finally had to look it up. I think there's 17, unless I screwed it up. 17 games is 22-23 season so far. 17 50-plus games. We've already had a couple in the 60s. Lillard's last night, and Doncic has one. Donovan Mitchell went for 71. And then we got a whole bunch of guys that have more than one. Doncic had three games over 50. Embiid's had a couple over. Booker and Giannis and even Anthony Davis, the glass man. Klay Thompson, just an amazing amount of games over 50 points. And you brought this up this morning, Woody. Scoring's way up in the NBA with the style of play you're getting and everything else. Talked with Eric Reed about that yesterday. But, man, these 50-plus games, not easy. I mean, start breaking it down. It's one thing to have one hot half of basketball. It's another to get 50 in a game.
Who do you think's the best player in the league right now? I know we go through this a lot as the year goes on, but if you had to take a guy right now, for me it's Giannis. I think Giannis is probably the best overall player right now. Jason Tatum is playing really well for the Celtics.
So you don't
like Celtics might be the best team.
You don't like either one of the foreign players, huh? One to play
Luka?
Center. Luka.
Luka's really good.
What about a guy in Denver?
No.
Don't like him? No. Don't like the MVP?
No.
Okay.
He's got to win something first.
You don't have to win anything to get the MVP.
Oh, I understand
that. MVP is a regular season.
I understand. By the way, LeBron is still playing at a really high level.
Yeah, but not MVP level. But you're
really
right.
Really good.
He's playing great. Don't get me wrong. He is playing fantastic. But how about Embiid? Embiid's he's like the runner-up. He's going to go down as the runner-up MVP guy because he's also – well, first of all, have you looked at the amount of guys that are scoring like 27, 28 points plus a game? Just a lot of guys. A lot of guys putting up big, big numbers this year. So it's been kind of crazy. Kind of crazy to see and watch here as we go down the stretch with I got great respect for Damian Lillard. Let me just say this. One of the few guys, and let's be honest, there's not too many free agents going to Portland going, hey, I want to go join Damian Lillard and go to Portland, right? It's not exactly on that top of that list with Miami and other places to go, right? We know about the L.A., both L.A.s, and, you know, you can go through this list, but ain't too many people going, I want to go to Portland. So I give him credit, man. He could have screamed his way out of there years ago. He's now 32, 33 years old, still plays at a high level, but you never hear him bitch. Say, hey, man, I'd like to have a better team. If you can help me, you know, give me a chance, I'd like to win something here. But he doesn't throw the temper tantrum and threaten to hold out, and he went all in on Portland as still one of the best players in the league, I think. Averaging just a little bit under 30 points a game right now. I'll tell you the other guy. I'm surprised Giannis stayed in Milwaukee. I thought Giannis would be looking to get out right early on if we don't win. Of course, they win the championship. They've got a real good team. And so far, so good there. But, yeah, it's what a year for scoring. What a year it's been so far. Hey, we got those championship games coming up. I know we've talked a lot about the matchups, and they both look like they're going to be close games. I think we'd all agree you're not expecting a blowout. We had a couple last week that I didn't see come. I didn't see Cincinnati going to Buffalo and beating them by 17. And the Giants, who had just played Philly pretty tough in a regular season, boy, not got their ass kicked. I mean, it was so bad that even the fan base, the game ended up doing like 28 million average because the second half.
Yeah, that was what you thought would be the highest rated game, maybe outside of the Bengals and Bills.
Yeah, I didn't.
Well, you know, it hurts when the game's over that quickly, man. I mean, that thing was kind of tough to watch.
Yes. Yeah, when it gets bad.
But you know what? You weed out guys like Daniel Jones. And it was funny because like a week before, we're talking about how you probably have to pay Daniel Jones. You probably got to keep him around. And then all of a sudden,
oh, they're gonna keep him.
Playoff game, and the coach isn't all, you know, sold on him anymore. And
well, the general manager,
what 1 week can do in that league.
Yeah, but you know what, Woody? The GMs can't. I'm really curious because I'm not sold on Daniel Jones. I mean, his coach did a great job taking over, but he's going to get paid. I'll bet you they end up giving him $25 to $30 million a year to stay and be the quarterback. I don't know how long they'll give the contract for, because again, those numbers aren't exactly screaming I'm a top 10 quarterback in this league by any means. But they made it to the playoffs. They won a playoff game. That first playoff game played pretty well. But the other thing I wanted to say too, I don't mind Dolphins getting some veteran. They're going to get some veteran running backs. I wouldn't be surprised to see Raheem Mostert or honestly Wilson both back on this team. Would not be surprised at all. It's got to be the right money. It's not going to be for big bucks. But, boy, I'm all for drafting a running back. Not in the first round, second or third round. No problem. We've seen a lot of good running backs. Hell, we've seen them throughout the draft, even going further down, fifth and sixth round, we've seen really good running backs. Find a guy that fits your system and go for it. No problem at all with that. And then the other thing we're waiting on here is this Vic Fangio thing to see if he's interested in this job and came in for an interview. He's interviewed a few places already and try to get this thing flipped around. But that old system, that Brian Flores system is history. It is done last year because of injury partially. And listen, some guys didn't play as well. Not enough takeaways. Didn't get enough takeaways. Didn't make enough plays defensively that they'll probably have to blow up that whole scheme. Keep your core of players. They're not going anywhere. Got a lot of guys with a lot of high draft investments, high draft picks. And on top of that, you just gave a guy on the other side at the trade deadline, Bradley Chubb, a lot of money. A lot of money. And you know what we got? 8 games, 2.5 sacks. Got to get more. Got to get more out of that. Got to get more out of Jalen, even with 7 sacks. Jalen Phillips, we need to get those guys up in double digits. That's got to be big, man, for this coming year to get more. And honestly, Javon Holland, I want to see Javon Holland moving around and getting involved and making more plays. I think that would be, you know, Javon Holland sitting with 2 picks and a sack and a half. I just thought he was on his way the year before. I have Minkah Fitzpatrick. I'm not saying he's going to be Minkah Fitzpatrick, but I think he's got that kind of talent to be Minkah Fitzpatrick and what he's doing in Pittsburgh. So it's about getting more out of these guys, man. Whatever system you're going to run, it's about trying to get more out of this group of guys that you have, this core of guys on this team right now with Brandon Jones coming back at safety and then making up and trying to decide who else you're going to have with Kader, Kahoo, and Xavier Howard on the outside.
All right, so we got a text here asking about Saquon Barkley, if you could get someone like that. I mean, obviously, Saquon is a stud, right? I mean, he's yeah. Great. How do you address that position?
Not paying him. I mean, if he wants to come here, great. But I'm not going overboard.
You really don't
money.
Value the running back position. That's
no.
Amazing. You wouldn't even. So you told me earlier you wouldn't use a first. You wouldn't probably
nope.
not use a second, you said.
I said I wouldn't use a first.
Would you consider using a second? Because you probably don't need to use a first to even get the top guys in the draft, do you?
Well, there's still, not every year, but
like,
there's always a running back that goes. Pittsburgh just took one recently in the first round.
I just think it's such a valuable position. You get a guy that's versatile, that can play every down.
So if they're so important, why don't more guys go in the first round? And there's some real good ones.
You're right, because of the injury stuff. I got you. Would you love to have a player like Christian McCaffrey? Look what he's done with that San Francisco offense.
You want to go back to how many times before this year he's been injured the last couple years?
Definitely. Always hurt. It's fair. It's the knock on him. He's always hurt.
Saquon Barkley took a long time to get healthy, and even when he first came back last year, he wasn't running like he did this year. I mean, listen.
You know, it's hard to stay healthy when you get hit 25 times a game.
Well, but that's what you're talking about. Like, so – that's why a lot of these teams rotate 2 and 3 backs. I'll tell you, that's one thing Belichick does. Belichick plays all those guys, likes 2 or 3 guys back there, and by the end of the year, you look and you go, wow, he's playing a lot of different guys, so that one guy doesn't sit there and take the pound. Those days are about done, aren't they, in the league?
It seems like it. My mindset with this team is we got to win now, and you can bring in a rookie and let him take a pounding, right? I mean, I'm not – thinking about this 4 or 5 years down the road, like, are we going to be able to sign this guy long term, this and that.
We went all in last year, Woody, on 8-3. We're 8-3 going to San Francisco to start that road trip. We went all in. We hit the trade deadline hard with a pass rusher and a running back. And by the way, I was all for it. I went, man, Chris going all in is great. So I'm not making – and we fell apart. We lost 5 straight games. We got back to 8-8. So I don't know what to say. Like, we were all in on that. We went, you know, we're out in Santa Clara, and it's like, hey, we got it, man. Let's go. And even if we lose this, we'll get the Chargers next week.
Couple quick texts here before we hit the break. Joe 954 says running backs are a dime a dozen, always hurt. Never spend big money on high picks on one.
I agree.
205, don't pay a running back a big second contract. When's the last time that worked out for a team?
Agree.
Yeah.
I think Saquon Barkley's going to be really disappointed when he sees the offers. And coming off a great year, big part of what their success. What would you pay him knowing what he's had?
Yeah, I know a lot of these guys get pissed off when, you know, look what happened to Le'Veon Bell. Remember Le'Veon Bell was the best running back in football, basically? And he was angry with his contract, decided he was going to sit out and never came back.
I don't think Adam Gase ever wanted him.
Yeah, he was on the Jets for a minute there. Like, that thing ended up being a mess.
I think that was a GM power move there because I don't think Adam thought that was the right guy. Hey, we got to go to break. Well, 305-567-056, you'd like to get your thoughts on some crucial key positions for the Miami Dolphins. We'll take a quick break. 9 o'clock hour is coming up. Kim Bocamper going to join us in just a couple of minutes.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.